Hey y'all, it's me, thepinkzone.fm, and welcome back to another episode. I am currently standing outside because it's 70 degrees and there's no one around me, so I figured why not record a little snippet for thepinkzone.fm, but four cars have just driven by. Ugh. So I went inside because it was loud as shit out there, and today we are going to be talking about... Drum roll, please. Vaginal infections. Woohoo! Cheery and fun subject matter. So, believe it or not, everyone with a vagina will get a vaginal infection at some point. It's like unavoidable. And I'm not talking necessarily about STIs, although those are very common. I'm talking more about like yeast infections, bacterial vaginosis, trichomonas, basically just like small, harmless vaginal infections that are just a huge pain in the butt or pain in the vagina. And I'm going to be talking about the three most common ones that people with vaginas get other than STIs, because I'm going to do a separate episode on STIs. So today I'm going to talk about yeast infections, bacterial vaginosis, and trichomonas. And for those who are wondering, I am also going to do a separate podcast on UTIs, because those are super common as well. So starting with yeast infections, I think most people know or have heard about a yeast infection, Candida. It's also called thrush in certain countries. In certain regions of the U.S. And basically the characteristic sign of a yeast infection is, this is gross, but a white clumpy discharge from the vagina that kind of looks like cottage cheese or Greek yogurt. Or honestly, I think sometimes it can be a lot drier than that. Like it could just be like little clumps and no like white liquid. But basically anything clumpy coming out of your vagina that's not blood is most likely a yeast infection. However, a lot of people self-diagnose yeast infections when it's actually bacterial vaginosis, but we're going to get into that. So basically, a yeast infection, there will be itching, burning, this weird sensation of like swelling and pain, discomfort. I heard someone describe it as like there's something living in there, like it feels just very itchy and disgusting. And most people, I think it's 1 in 3 people, will get a yeast infection. They're not sexually transmitted. You can get them from like a million things. You can get them from wearing pants that are too tight. You can get them from eating too much sugar. You can get them from not taking a shower after you swim in a pool. You can get them from semen changing the pH of your vagina. You can get it from your period changing the pH of your vagina. People who are pregnant get them a ton because their blood sugar is higher. And people who are pre-diabetic can also get them a ton. You can get them if you have HIV, you're more likely to get them. If you are very stressed, if you're not getting enough sleep, anything that can mess with your hormones can mess with the pH of your vagina and can give you a yeast infection. Luckily, they're super easy to treat, so you don't need to suffer for very long. There's over-the-counter creams called Monistat that work really, really well. And there's also a pill that some people can take depending on what medications you're already on, because it is contraindicated with a couple of like mood stabilizers. So I know like for me, I can't take the pill, but I can use the cream. And you can also, the pill is prescription only, but the cream is over the counter. So for a lot of people, the cream is the better option, except it's like $15 for a box of cream, which is a pain. But yeah, so that's basically what a yeast infection is. But remember, don't self-diagnose, because it could be the next infection, which we're going to talk about, bacterial vaginosis. So, bacterial vaginosis is pretty darn similar to a yeast infection, except there's two major differences. One is that bacterial vaginosis usually doesn't have that characteristic clumpy texture of the discharge. There is a lot of whitish, grayish discharge though. And two, bacterial vaginosis, if you ever heard somebody make an offensive joke or something about the vagina smelling fishy, it's not supposed to smell fishy. Most vaginas, I think we all know, don't smell like fish. But if they do, that is a telltale sign of bacterial vaginosis. It's actually that fishy odor. And yeast infections really don't smell like much. So if you're embarrassed by the smell of your vagina, especially after sex, or after your period, it could be that you have recurring BV, because a lot of the time it doesn't have any other symptoms other than just the smell. BV is caused by an overgrowth of bacteria called Gardnerella, which is easy to grow, like it likes to grow in the vagina. It doesn't mean you're sick, it doesn't mean you have an STI. It can happen basically from a pH change. So tampons, period blood, semen, anything, douching, anything that you put in your vagina changes the pH of the vaginal wall and makes it more conducive for bacteria to breed. Even if you don't put anything in your vagina, some people just have different pHs and get BV more than others, which is unfortunate. But again, like a yeast infection, BV is pretty easy to take care of. You do have to get a prescription, but they have a gel and a pill, and both work equally as well. And sometimes, though, what really fucks you up is if you get BV, the pH is off, which makes yeast more likely to want to grow. So you end up having BV and a yeast infection at the same time. So then you have to use two different regimens of medicine. But even that is, like, easy to treat, and it's gone in, like, a week. But yeah, most people, when they self-diagnose with a yeast infection and then go buy Monistat at the CVS, it's actually bacterial vaginosis, and the Monistat does nothing, and you wasted your money, and then you're like, why is my quote-unquote yeast infection not going away? And then you go to your doctor, and they're like, it's not a yeast infection. So that's why you should always either test your pH, and if it's basic, that means you have BV, and you should go to the doctor, and if it's not basic, it's probably a yeast infection. Especially after sex or your period, your vagina is way more likely to have a basic pH. So, moving on to trichomonas. Trichomonas are one that I don't know a ton about, but I'm going to try to do justice to them. They're the least common of the three that you cannot get from sex. So, BV, yeast infections, trichomonas are not STIs. Some people will say that BV is an STI because you can get it from semen, but that's dumb. I don't agree. So trichomonas are characterized by a foamy, greenish discharge, a kind of unpleasant smell, and a lot of itching and burning when you pee. And again, it's just all caused by throwing off the pH or the bacteria in your vagina, which is so easy. Your vagina is a sensitive little lady or man, depending on who you are. Your vagina is a sensitive little bean, and anything can mess it up. Some people have more sensitive vaginas than others. I mean, I know people who've never gotten an infection of any sort, but I feel like, yeah, I can't name a single one of my close friends who has never had an infection. So trichomonas are also easy to treat. You also need an prescription medicine to treat them, but they go away relatively easily. And unlike BV and yeast infections, they're not as likely to come back. So with BV and yeast infections, once you get one, you're more likely to get another one, but that's not the same with trichomonas. So yeah, that's just a quick and easy one, pretty much. Green discharge, any kind of foaminess. Your discharge should never be green. That's just a general rule. Whitish discharge, this is where things can get complicated, because you might think you have a yeast infection, but your natural cervical mucus is just white, and that's completely normal. You might think you have bacterial vaginosis, but your cervical mucus is just white or grayish. That's completely normal. People don't normally have green discharge, so that's when you know. Anytime it's green or blue or purple or pink, well, pink actually is usually okay too, but yeah, pink, brown, red, it's usually just residual period blood or implantation bleeding from ovulation, which is when the egg implants itself in the uterus, kind of like knocking on the wall of the uterine lining, and it knocks some stuff loose, and you might bleed a little bit when you ovulate. I know I do. I also get nosebleeds when I ovulate, which is bizarre. I think my blood is just like, yay, time to hang out with you. So now that we've gone off on that lovely tangent, I'm going to sign off. But I will talk to you guys in a couple of days. And next episode is going to be about UTIs. So stay tuned. Bye.